it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org, the AMA to wrap the show up every single day. And on Falcons Mondays, they can also be Falcons calls as well. Brought to you by, I told you that, right? Right From The Heart. Final hour of the show, brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at reliableair.com. Let's get out to the phone lines here and talk to Ricky in Atlanta. Hey, Ricky.
Ricky!
How you guys doing? Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. I just want to say, I don't want to overreact. But I think that was the first time, that was the first game that I've ever seen from a draft class where every single person that was drafted contributed like directly to the outcome of the game.
Right.
James Pierce had a sack. Jaylen Walker had a sack. Xavier Watts had a pick. Billy Bowman had a pick. Like, they all contributed in one game, you know, so that made me extremely excited. The other point that I wanted to make about the Falcons is that Pitts wants the football. I like that Penix wants to get him the football. I just don't want it to take away from how many times Drake touches the ball, because I think Drake only had 3 catches last night. So I don't really want it to get to a point where it's like, okay, well, if we get Pitts 8 targets, we can only get Drake 5 targets or 4 targets. I think that has to be balanced out a little bit. And as far as the running game, I think what will ultimately work out for us is, of course, Bijan will get 15-plus touches. But I think in the late games when the defense is tired and kind of back to the wall, I think Algier could come in and just kind of just wear them on down towards the end of the game. And, you know, that's kind of my assessment of last night.
All right, Ricky.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Appreciate it, Ricky.
I mean, definitely the headline with the rookie class.
Yes, like, they all played very, very well.
I don't have, you know, that's a hard one to look up. Yeah. I don't know if there's history of that. Maybe, of all of your first round or all of your draft picks having that stat like that on a night.
Right.
I don't know, but I know the Falcons did last night. And
yes,
that's awesome.
They did.
I think the, you know, there's a lot of context to the Drake Kyle thing. They only threw the ball 21 times last night.
Yeah, I don't.
5 of the targets were to Kyle, 4 of them were to Drake. So they each got a pretty good share of
whoever
the throws.
Whoever's getting busy is who you go with.
Well, and then also Drake was banged up.
Yes.
And again, week 1 he had 15 targets.
Yeah.
So a healthy Drake is going to be
the number one guy. Yes.
I don't
have
to worry about that.
Yes.
But if Kyle Pitts is playing so well that Pitts wants to throw him the ball more, that's a good thing.
Yeah. You know? It's not a bad thing to want because he's so vital to what they want to do offensively. Talking about Kyle. And if he's playing the way he's playing, because I think he's playing really well right now.
I agree.
I think he's playing well. He's running. He looks good running. You know, and so if that's the case, you got to give him the ball, then that's fine. I am with you. I think Drake was banged up. You can kind of tell a little bit last night. But when it was time for him to make a play, he made one.
Yeah. He made, I mean, you know, that punch out kind of could have happened whether he was banged up or not.
Right.
That was just a perfect punch. The guy got his hand right on the ball.
Perfect.
And knocked it out. But, yeah, man, I mean, look, I think the target distribution last night has a lot more to do with the flow of the game and the way that the passing game went anyway. They only threw it 20 times. Those guys had about half the targets between the two of them. So, all right. Thomas is in DeCula.
What's up, guys? Thanks
hey,
for taking my call. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed that game last night, the Falcons game. And I needed it. I really, really needed it for my Falcons PTSD. And I'm just wanting to know, like, if maybe this is helpful for a lot of y'all's us, because, like, yes, I still have a lot of PTSD on the red zone, and that we didn't do good there. But I really, really needed to see us kick 5 field goals and make every single freaking one of those things. I feel a little bit better about it. We ain't gonna make them all, but I just feel a little bit better. I really needed to see, like the previous star talked about, like our. You know, our first round, or our draft picks, us addressing the pass rush. And I see the people online, like, kind of poo-poo it because it was J.J. McCarthy and it wasn't a Baker Mayfield or a somebody who's more elusive. And it's like, so what? We did what we were supposed to do against him. Yeah, that may be true, but we did what we were supposed to do. And we got after him. And then I absolutely, thoroughly enjoyed and loved seeing the run game just develop. That's my kind of football. I'll watch it all day. I don't care if we get zero touchdown passes. If we just run the ball like that and win, obviously, it was beautiful. That means winning in the trenches. Winning in the trenches.
Yeah, look, no doubt. There was a lot of stuff.
It just made me feel good, and that's it. I stood up. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, and it should have.
Yeah.
It should have made you feel good.
They won.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be a nitpicking, which is fine, whatever. I mean, they have an issue in the red zone. First of all, get the damn play in faster. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the biggest. The scoring, but like Michael getting to the line with 8-9 seconds left and then trying to run, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
Get the freaking play in.
Yep.
Whoever's calling in, Zach, wherever you are, get the freaking play in. And so you can find a way, you get the play in fast enough that gives your quarterback enough time to scan, to check, to slide, do all types of things. But it's hard when you're back there with 2 seconds, Andy, and then you're finally sending the guy in motion. They're like,
yeah, cut your hands. It was just
– yeah.
Because, I mean, we were all doing the same thing. Everybody's watching the play clock that first drive. Yes. And even the second drive, it's like, man, every snap doesn't have to be at zero.
Give him some time.
Get this thing rolling a little bit so we can scan the defense. But, yeah, look, that's a part of it for sure. The silver lining of all the red zone stalls is got to see the field goal kicker kick.
Yeah.
I mean,
six times.
Trust me. I would much rather have seen all of those be extra points after touchdown scored. I'm not saying I want field goals, but if the guy's got a kick, at least he made them, you know, easing a little bit of the PTSD from week one.
Yeah.
Where you, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
Bray is in Tucker. Hey, Bray.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. I just got three quick questions. The first question is for Randy. How is it that Notre Dame is 0-2 and still ranked in the top 25.
I agree with you, brother.
And for Andy, I don't want to sound funny, but what's the new white name? Because, like, Jalen is apparently the new black name.
Okay.
And what's the other – like, what's something that one of you have learned from each other that you, like, wow, because I just learned what a Chad was.
Oh, yeah.
So –
tell people what a Chad is, just to educate.
I'd rather you tell them, Andy. Oh. It sounds funnier coming from you.
Okay.
And shout out to the Falcons. I don't care if they win 9-6. Yep. As long as they win, a win is a win.
Yep. Yeah, man. Appreciate it, Bray.
Chad's like a frat bro.
Oh, okay.
Like a Chad's a bro.
Oh, okay.
Basically. The new white name is a great question. Give us credit. We're getting a little more creative these days. We're kind of spreading our wings away from just like Johns and Jakes and
right,
stuff.
Right, right, right.
We got like Braxtons.
Oh, yeah, a lot of Braxtons.
And like Cadens.
Ah.
A lot of Cadens and Bradens.
Okay.
And Jadens. And those types of rhymes.
Yeah.
And then for girls, it's a lot of like names that end previously they would have ended in EY or Y, but now it's EIGH. So, like, you might have an Ashley.
Oh, yeah.
You might have an Ashley, but instead of it being A-S-H-L-E-Y, you put an E-I-G-H on the end of it, or like a Kaylee, or a Braylee, or a...
Do you know a Braylee?
Like a Fraley?
You know a Braylee?
Yeah, she has blind parents.
Hank Fraley?
Oh, God.
Tabobby is in Atlanta. Hi, Tabobby.
Get you some, Tabobby. Feeling all comfortable last week, weren't you?
All right, y'all just need to watch out for the radio Ricos they're sending out on folks. So we can't have y'all getting wrapped up in any of those. But
what happened?
So there's a radio Rico going around with, like, you know, some of the big New York DJs, like the famous ones, for payola. And I'm not going to speak. I don't want y'all to say too much because I don't know who y'all are affiliated with. I don't want you to get in trouble.
Like coming after the radio hosts, huh? All right.
Yeah, they're doing radio Ricos. But the other day, I was up in the morning cleaning, and Feel It in the Air by Beanie Siegel came on. And that's just one of my favorite, like, deep-thinking, old-school hip-hop songs. What's one of y'all's favorite deep hip-hop songs, or maybe, like, storytelling songs? Mm. Like, I hate to say it, but, like, the art of storytelling. Like, that came on the other day, and it was just, like, the story they were telling that, it just hit. And I just want to know y'all's favorite, like, deep-slash-storytelling songs. But you can't say Regulate, because everybody knows Regulate.
Damn, I was going to say that, too.
I'd say Liberation by Outkast.
Sure. There's no doubt about that it's Liberation.
Equimini
for me.
He said Beanie Siegel, so it just made me think of the song I Don't Do Much, which if you ever just want to feel, I don't know. I put that song on and drive around and just feel like the man. Gets me going. Like, I don't do any of the stuff in that song.
Right,
like, I'm not
right,
gonna,
right, right. But
I'm not going to duct tape your mouth and put lie in it or anything like that.
But
get paper cuts from counting money.
You feel yourself.
Yeah. I don't hustle. I just tax the block. He just says so many cool lines in
but
that song.
It's such a cold blooded song.
The beat is so good.
Oh, the beat is the best.
Thanks for bringing up Beanie Siegel.
That is a big. I love Beanie.
Josh is in Suwannee. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. Hey, I know y'all touched on it earlier, but we got two head coaches in college football got this past weekend with Virginia Tech and UCLA.
Yep.
Aren't all their players eligible for redshirting and transferring out of the program?
Yep.
Yes.
Isn't that like a worst-case scenario for any college organization? Right. And going forward, what would be the ideal time to get your head coach if you were going to do it? I just feel like four games not even being played yet, they just leave themselves open for worst-case scenario disaster.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, Josh. Like, it's tough. You're going to lose most of your roster right now. But I think the thought process is whoever you hire, pretty good chance they're going to bring a bunch of people with them.
Yeah, you would think. And I was telling Abe, I saw a couple other names they were talking about as far as our candidates, like Tommy Rees. Remember Tommy? And Tommy Rees was his OC for Cleveland. I mean, I think it was him and Bill Belichick for the North Carolina job or something like that. So he has
that'd be interesting in Virginia Tech.
He has different ties and everything like that. But, I mean, it's just, like, Virginia Tech, it just fell off so bad. Like, they had, Fuentes, 2 years ago, I think it was?
I think this was the third year for Pride.
Okay.
I think. But, again, you're right about it. Normally, you'd know.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there was a time when that was viewed as a pretty good job.
Yeah, man.
And all of a sudden, it's like, I mean, besides what Enter Sandman.
They have nothing.
Besides that, we're not saying much
they have nothing.
About Virginia Tech these days. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the ideal time to, lose your coach would be. I mean, obviously things are bad if that's what's going on, but you'd like to be able to be in the cycle. At least they're ahead of it.
Yeah.
That's what you always say about firing your coach early.
Yeah,
at least you get to do a big search.
But that ain't UCLA no more. You know what I mean? Like, you'd be like, man, it's UCLA though.
Never was.
It never was, no, man.
UCLA football.
It's just been, fell off so bad.
Yeah.
And that's why they need to take their ass back to the Pac-10.
Yeah, they should.
They might as well go back. Because you remember that with USC, it was looking like it had to be a package deal with those two.
It was very nice of USC to include UCLA.
Man, damn that, man.
Yeah, no, I'm with
damn
you. They would be much better off playing in that that new old Pac-12.
But they didn't get beat by a Pac-12 team.
No, they got beat by New Mexico.
1.5 million.
They got killed
by 1.2 million.
They got killed by UNLV and by New Mexico.
Yes.
So maybe they should not even be in the Pac-12. Maybe they need to be in the Mountain West or something that. No, UCLA football is not not good. And I don't know who is someone who could. They have Chip Kelly. I mean, that's about as big of a name as you can get and still wasn't any good.
Who would you? I don't know.
It's got to be some up and coming young West Coast.
Buster Faulkner,
coach.
Would he leave Georgia Tech for that?
Interesting. I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't.
But yeah, I know that's the type of guy though.
Yes.
Like a hot coordinator. All right, let's get to takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements
on Andy and Randy Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Braylee's parents have won. Did not know that.
You get it, right?
Yes. I said moving along. And Beanie Siegel. And Andy Ryder, I like he's the man.
I know. I'm going to listen.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That on the way home. When you're desperate for sacks, you'll take a half a sack.
Yeah.
The Falcons put that thing on J.J. McCarthy, and a whole sack is also better than a half a sack.
That is true.
Vikings don't die. They go to Valhalla. And you go with whoever's getting busy.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That was fun. All the teams should win more often.
Yeah.
We can have
yes,
Mondays like that.
Fun.
That was great. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.